So the inspectors have arrived. Maybe they're the Ofsted inspectors or the Care Quality Commission inspectors. It's time to be judged against certain standards and expectations. Will outstanding be achieved or inadequate? In Malachi chapter 2, the report is in from God's inspection of the priests in Malachi's day, and they're found to be failing. They are failing priests in the light of God's inspection. And we'll explore why that is and what must happen. Well, first of all, then notice in verses 1 to 3, the curse is coming. And I'm nudging the NIV paragraphs down by a verse. So it's verses 1 to 3 and then verses 4 to 7 are the paragraphs I'll be following. The curse is coming for failing to honour God's name. It's a curse that is threatened and indeed has already begun. The Lord says, now this admonition is for you, O priests, if you do not listen and if you do not set your heart to honour my name, says the Lord Almighty, I will send a curse upon you and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have already cursed them, because you have not set your heart to honour me. Three times in there, verse 2, God pronounces this curse upon the people, upon the priests, and especially, I will curse your blessings. That's a complete reversal. God is not going to bless them. He's going to curse their blessings, a complete reversal of their state and condition. This... Can you imagine anything worse than a divine curse? For God to curse them. There's nothing more terrible for them. God goes on in verse 3. Because of you, I will rebuke your descendants. It's literally, I will rebuke your seed, which leads to the footnote. You'll notice in the NIV, I will blight your corn. Because seed can be taken either in the way of descendants or in the idea of seed that you sow. And I think it's probably the seed that you sow in the ground that's being spoken of. Because in chapter 3 and verse 11, God says, I will prevent pests from devouring your crops. God says literally there, I will rebuke the pests that are devouring their crops. So the opposite of that here is God will rebuke their seed, their grain. In Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 30, we read these words. A tithe, a tenth, of everything from the land, whether seed from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. Well, that tenth was given to the priests and the Levites. That was the portion that was given to them. So when God says, I will rebuke your seed, that's implying a crop failure so that they don't get their share of what was grown in the fields. They're going to be deprived because there's going to be a plague, a pestilence on the crops and on what grows. And so God is going to deprive them of their goods, of their food. And then God says, I will spread on your faces the offal from your festival sacrifices. Other translations use that offal as dung. I will spread dung on your faces. God says, I'm going to, I will rub your noses in it. That's what God is saying to these people, to these priests. God is angry with these disrespectful priests. God is angry. He's going to curse them. He's going to cause them to suffer hunger. He's going to rub their noses in it in disgrace and dishonour because they have disrespected God. They have failed to honour God's name. And so the curse is coming. Yes, it's already begun, God says. And then God reminds us of the standard that they're going to be judged by. Standard setting in verses 4 to 7, God reminds them of the standard that they should be operating to. The covenant with Levi. You will know that I have sent this admonition so that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord Almighty. My covenant was with him, a covenant of life and peace. And we read of that there in Numbers 25, when God says, I will give to Phinehas a covenant of peace. Do you know why the Levites were chosen to be the priestly family? Why the tribe of Levi was chosen? Well, in Exodus and chapter 32, we're told, Exodus 32 records the incident of the golden calf that the Israelites made in the wilderness to worship. And Moses comes down from the mountain. And we read in Exodus chapter 32, verse 25, Moses saw that the people were running wild and that Aaron had let them get out of control and so became a laughing stock to their enemies. So Moses stood at the entrance to the camp and said, whoever is for the Lord, come to me. And the Levites rallied to him. And he said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Each man strap a sword to his side, go back and forth through the camp from one end to the other, each killing his brother and friend and neighbor. The Levites did as Moses commanded, and that day about 3,000 of the people died. Then Moses said, you have been set apart to the Lord today, for you are against your own sons and brothers, and he has blessed you this day. So the Levites were set apart because they were concerned for God's honor. And then the priestly family of Phinehas was chosen. And you remember what we read there in Numbers 25 regarding Phinehas? It says in verse 13 of Numbers 25, he and his descendants will have a covenant of a lasting priesthood because he was zealous for the honour of his God. That's the standard that they are to be judged against. That's why this tribe was chosen. And yet remember what the Lord says there in Malachi 2 verse 2. If you do not listen and if you do not set your heart to honour my name. That's why the tribe was chosen initially. They're failing to honour God's name. They're demonstrated, you see, the Levites there and then Phinehas had demonstrated heartfelt concern for God's honour and God's reputation. God's name. And so Malachi lists a number of the standards that they should be meeting as priests. The first one is reverence, there in verse 5. Reverence. My covenant was with him, a covenant of life and peace, and I gave them to him this cord for reverence. And he revered me and stood in awe of my name. It says he bowed down to my name. The tribe of Levi, they showed reverence for God. They feared God beyond anything else and anyone else. They had reverence for God. A utter and solemn respect for God was their underlying motivation. In both of those incidents, there in the wilderness with the golden calf, Phinehas, later on with the people of Moab, it was a solemn respect for God that motivated them. Reverence then was one of the standards that they should show. But then also teaching at the beginning of verse 6. True instruction was in his mouth and nothing false was found on his lips. It's not often recognized as a duty of the priests that they should teach and instruct the people, but that was one of their obligations. So we read in Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 9. Deuteronomy 31 verse 9. So Moses wrote down this law and gave it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel. Then Moses commanded them, at the end of every 7 years, in the year for cancelling debts, during the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God at the place he will choose, you shall read this law before them in their hearing. Assemble the people, men, women and children, and the foreigners living in your towns, so that they can listen and learn to fear the Lord your God and follow carefully all the words of this law. Their children who do not know this law must hear it and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess. So the priests had a duty every 7 years to assemble the people and read God's law to them, to remind them what they should be doing and to instruct those who hadn't yet heard it to know what God's will and purpose was. And it was to be true, accurate, uncorrupted teaching. Notice there in verse 6, true instruction was in his mouth and nothing false was found in his lips. The pure teaching of God's word and God's will and God's law. Teaching then was one of those standards that they had to meet. The next was a piety, we might call it, there in verse 6. He walked with me in peace and uprightness. The priests were to walk with God. They were to have a personal relationship with God. Walking with God in peace. They were reconciled to God themselves. And uprightness. The basic idea behind that word uprightness is something that's level. It's used of a plain in the land, a level place. So when we speak of people being, he's on the level, it means that they're honest, doesn't it? They're not hypocritical. I mean, perhaps that's the idea here. These priests, they walk with God in peace and honesty, without hypocrisy in their walk with God. And so there was the need for piety. And then there was the fourth criteria, if you like, was success in turning people from sin. So there, verse 6, true instruction was in his mouth and nothing false was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness and turned many from sin. Their teaching of God's law had the desired effect and impact in the lives of their hearers in that they turned from sin and perversity. And verse 7, I think, is a helpful summary then of this, what was expected of priests. For the lips of a priest ought to preserve knowledge, guard and keep it, and from his mouth men should seek instruction, because he is the messenger of the Lord Almighty. And they are noticed there to preserve knowledge. And the lips of a priest ought to preserve knowledge. I think that means their lips should guard knowledge, to preserve it from corruption, preserve it from perversion. So what they teach guards and preserves the knowledge of God. And so they are the criteria that they've got to meet. The inspectors come with their checklist. Is their reverence? Is their teaching? Is their piety? Is there success in turning people from sin? Well, no, there's not. Instead, there is fault finding with these priests in verses 8 and 9. It's as if the prophet goes back and checks against each of those things. So verse 8, you have turned from the way. This is contrary to middle of verse 6. He walked with me in peace and righteousness. They've turned from that way. It's their personal relationship with God has gone. They're no longer walking with God. They've turned from the way. And their teaching has now been corrupted, because by your teaching you have caused many to stumble. It's the same word that was used earlier for instruction. From his mouth men should seek instruction. Well, by your instruction you have caused many to stumble. This was because their instruction was now false. They were no longer teaching God's law purely. Perhaps they were omitting parts of God's law that they thought wouldn't be quite palatable for the people. By their instruction, people were being made to stumble. You have violated the covenant of Levi by showing disregard and contempt for God. That was the covenant, remember, with Levi. They had the honour of God. But now they're showing disrespect and disregard for God's name. We saw at the end of chapter 1 that they were doing that by receiving defective sacrifices in their worship. But also now in their teaching, obviously, they are disrespecting God. They have violated the covenant. Verse 7 tells us, and again in verse 9, I've caused you to be despised and humiliated before all the people because you have not followed my ways. And again, that's the same word that was used of preserving. They'd not guarded and preserved God's ways. They'd failed to keep God's ways. And you have shown partiality in matters of law. Again, that's actually the same word as instruction earlier. So the NIV has instruction twice, and then it says teaching, and then it says in matters of law. But that's the same word on each occasion. You have shown partiality in instruction. And I think what that means is that they had made God's truth sound different for different groups. They had favoured those that they like, making God's truth more palatable or less demanding for certain people. And so they showed partiality in their instruction, not giving God's whole truth to everyone in the way that they should. They failed on all counts. They hadn't met the standards that God had set that had been at the very beginning of the Levitical priesthood. They failed on all counts. So this is God's admonition of these priests. What has it got to teach us today? What's its application for us? Well, I think first of all we must say that God's people always need a faithful teaching ministry. God's people always need a faithful teaching ministry. That's why God is particularly criticizing these priests for failing in the instruction that they should give. Why do God's people always need a faithful teaching ministry? Well, this matters because what you believe affects how you behave. What you believe affects how you behave, so you need to be taught about what you should believe. Another reason that God's people continually need a faithful teaching ministry is because error and falsehood are continual dangers. There are those who are going to try and lead you astray from the truth. Peter says to the believers, he writes to in 1 Peter 5, be alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. How does the devil devour people? Well, it's not with lion teeth. It's through lying about the truth. There in the Garden of Eden, what did the devil say? You won't die. God has said you will surely die. No, you won't die. God knows that when you eat the fruit, you'll be like him. The devil lied about the truth. And that's how the devil seeks to devour people, by deceiving them, lying. And so Paul writes in 2 Corinthians and chapter 11, I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. That's what the devil will do. The devil would have us deceived about who Jesus is and lead us astray from that pure and sincere devotion to Christ. Just this week on Facebook, I saw a post from my sister's daughter, brought up in a Reformed church in America, a Protestant church. And she posted a post. Their college has just had exposition of 150 saints. Now, not an exposition of the Bible, an exposition of 150 saints. What was that? Well, they had a fragment of the crown of thorns, the actual crown of thorns. They had a fragment of the real cross. They had a fragment of Mary's veil. And they were bowing down to it. They've been deceived. They've been led astray from the simplicity that's in Christ. There's another Jesus that they're being led to. That's why God's people, you see, need this faithful teaching ministry. Because there's a danger of false teaching. There's a danger of believing wrong things. And we're all in danger of it. And so that's why God is so severe against these priests for leading the people astray, not teaching clearly and faithfully God's word. They are to be a messenger of God. That's what Malachi, his name means, my messenger. That's what the word Malachi means, my messenger. But the priests were failing to be God's messenger. They were bringing a message that might please the people, that would favour some of their people, the ones who liked and supported them. They didn't find fault with the people for the sacrifices that they were bringing in their worship. And so God is ready to curse them. So we need to beware, because what we believe affects how we behave. The truth we believe will affect how we live. So we've got to make sure that it's the right truth. It's God's truth. And that's why we need to make sure that we're sitting under a ministry that preaches God's word and presents God's word as your food. You need to pray. You need to pray for those in ministry that they'll be kept faithful to God's word. We need to pray for the church in our land. Any false teachers abroad. We need to pray that God will have mercy on us. And we need to give heed to God's word. Because God has provided always for his people a teaching ministry. Remember when Jesus ascended on high and gave gifts to men. What were the gifts he gives? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. They're all people who speak the truth. They are teachers of God's truth. God is concerned that we know his truth and follow his truth. And so that's why he provides that teaching ministry. But it's for our sakes. It's for the honour of his name, first of all. But then it's for our well-being that God does that. See, God is angry with a corrupt teaching ministry because his honour suffers. And his people's well-being suffers. That's why God is so furious with these priests and ready to bring his curse upon them. I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. just following what Malachi said, God's curse upon those who pervert the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that gospel is our only hope. The gospel of Christ is our only hope of salvation from the anger that God would pour out on us for our sin. Christ has taken it, suffered in our place, our substitute Saviour, who has suffered for us, been buried and risen alive for our justification. That's the gospel that must be preached, that we must believe and stick to and hold to if we would be saved. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, thank you that you have given us your word and revealed your truth. But help us to recognize, Lord, that there are those who would deceive and corrupt and throw in confusion and lead us astray. Lord, please preserve us, we pray. Grant us, Lord, to be alert and watchful. Lord, have mercy on the church in the United Kingdom. Lord, many have departed from the truth and we grieve. Lord, have mercy on those who have been deceived and led astray. Lord, please, in your grace, recover them, we pray. We ask these mercies for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.
Our final hymn, our Father God, and we seek God's grace to stick to the truth of his word.